morning. Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Bacon Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later in the program, Robert Knott will be with us, as he is just about every Friday, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Charlie Newton. He is the author of the new book, Calumet City. It's on the cover, it's called A Cop Noir, and he will be at Garcia Street Books this Sunday at 3 o'clock, signing books and reading from his new book. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hello.
Hello. So this book is written in the first person by the character of a police officer named Patty Black. She's based on a real Chicago police officer?
Still working.
Tell us about this person before we talk about the character.
Patty's been on a job 17, 18 years. Pretty much a street legend in the ghetto where she works. She works District 6, which is three or four districts that are particularly difficult in Chicago and have been for forever. And what drew me to her was another policeman who I know is also very famous that is not a huge fan of women in general and certainly not of women policemen. Part of the reason being that nowadays you can't shoot people anymore like you used to be able to when you get in an argument. You have to wrestle with them, you have to fight with them, and that women don't have the physical power to do that, and that puts the male officer's life in jeopardy, in his opinion. And this guy and I know each other really well, and he helps me with the police side of the stories that I tell. And he began telling me stories about this woman that was the best cop he'd ever met.
And best cop, male or female?
Any man, woman, child, top to bottom. I mean, he couldn't say enough superlatives about this person. And I was stunned that he would say that. And so I said, I got to meet her. And he said, well, she ain't going to talk to you. And she'd been profiled on the cover of Chicago Magazine by Jonathan Eich and some other folks. And she just doesn't talk to reporters or novelists or anything else. But she's very tight with Denny. So they put us together. We hit it off. And what struck me and why I decided to use her, A, she let me, and B, she doesn't have the poison that a ghetto cop has. All the men that I know have real issues with the people and place they police. There's great sadness and anger after seeing this awfulness daily. She didn't have any of it.
Really? Why not?
Part of it's her real life. I mean, she came out of a really awful life. I mean, awful beyond what I've written. At fictionally, and for some reason that journey, she became a policeman to hide from that journey, and then while she took it, she processed it, I guess. I'm not a psychiatrist, but she decided to not hate the people she policed. She's not a non-cynic, but she... It takes excuse me, 300-400 pages to explain it, and you can't explain it directly. There isn't an explanation. I never met, of 1,000 policemen I know and 1,000 criminals I know, I never met anyone like her.
Now, do you think, I hate to ask this, but do you think her being a woman had anything to do with her being able to take that attitude in comparison to all the dude cops she's around?
Yeah, I mean, I think your gender matters. And I think how women solve problems is very different than how men solve problems. And on the occasion that you put a woman in certain situations, she's gonna do a better job in some components of human interaction than men. And that's a very blanket, far-reaching statement. But I'm positive, for good or ill, her being a woman is a huge part of why she's different. She should be dead. She shouldn't be a legend. She's won Police Officer of the Year twice. Nobody's ever done that. No woman's ever won it once. She is a very aggressive policeman, but she doesn't hate them.
Now, how does she deal with the not being able to shoot people, having to wrestle them?
She doesn't wrestle them. She stands by. She pulls her gun. Every time I've been with her, she's drawn her gun at least 5 or 6 times a day, which you're told on television that doesn't happen. And for all the reasons they tell you are sort of semi-true. She just stands back, and in the ghetto they know her. She'd been there a long time. She stands back, pulls her gun, and says, I'm not going to wrestle. I'm going to shoot you. And she means it. And they know she means it.
And she's white policing a black district?
Yeah.
So you grew up in Chicago. How close were you to the kinds of dramas of, you know, cops and gangsters and politicians and so on that you write about?
I grew up middle class, born in the city, moved to Evanston, which is the first suburb north, and moved back to the city, and had absolutely no reason whatsoever to know any of these people. Every choice I made that led me down that road to the racetrack, to other places that I ended up participating, were all just being stupid and deciding that was more interesting to me than the real common, smart, elevated, middle-class road that I should have taken. So, in the ghetto, the only time I would go to the ghetto, we had an area called Maxwell Street. It was called Jew Town at the time, but Maxwell and Halstead was an open-air market where Muddy Waters and B.B. King and Little Walter and everybody you can imagine played. In the movie The Blues Brothers, where Aretha Franklin has a bar at the corner of Maxwell and Halstead, or a little restaurant. I'd go down there every Sunday and listen to the blues when I was 12, 13 years old. And it was like going to another country because you would traverse half the city by L, the elevated train, get off, and all of a sudden you're down there amongst guys in yellow fedora hats and 15 hookers and people with guns, and it just appealed to me.
You liked it. I mean, you have this little smile on your face as you're talking about it.
Yeah, as I was saying before we got on about the racetrack.
In high school, you sort of didn't pay as much attention to school as to the horse races.
I was really smart chemically, but my education probably stopped by my sophomore year. I got sent away a couple of times. I was a very violent kid, and the racetrack accepted me at a lot of levels, and the characters out there, I mean, you know, Raymond Chandler couldn't have written all of the guys that are at every racetrack. And back in the old days, when casino gambling hadn't proliferated, that was where you went, and that's where the wise guys went, and that's where the losers went, and the drugs and the alcoholics and everything else. And so you could roll out there in 1963 or 64, sit down, and your friends are listening to the Beatles, and you're sitting around with these guys that are betting the lunch money.
And so how did you, what was your place in that? I mean, you were a kid. What good could you do there?
The handicapping is part art and part math. I'm particularly adept at math. And they would sort of school you if they realized that you knew something about how the numbers fit together, how to read a racing form. And they would school you on, well, here's what you don't know about the backside, what a horse looks like, why it's doing this, who might be dishonest and all. And it's much like writing a novel. It's a huge puzzle, a gumbo of information that you have to reweight every single day, every time you look at it. There's no constants. There's consistency, but not constants. And I'm good at that. I'm good at puzzles. And it was a wonderful puzzle. And then when you're successful and you get to find out every 20 minutes whether you're successful, people are nice to you.
And so you were successful because you could do that whole numbers thing.
Yeah, I mean, like on prom night, I had a date for prom, which was a big deal to me. Well, I go into a maid restaurant in Chicago, the Rosebud Cafe, which is probably maybe the best Italian restaurant in the United States, owned by the guys. And I'm maid. I mean, I'm 18, I'm nobody, but I walk in there and this girl I'm with is looking at me like, these people are buying your dinner, we're drinking, you know, who are you? There's a scene where Ray Liotta in Goodfellas is sitting front row center at the Copa, and the girl that's with him, this Jewish girl, says, who are you? And he goes, oh, he was 21, you're a union delegate, you know, he just makes up something. And every now and then, my life was like that as a kid because I knew all the people. You want to go to a fight at Chicago Stadium or something, or down at the amphitheater, we can sit ringside. It's just, you know.
So this is great background for writing cop novels.
I don't really write cop novels. These novels are about dealing with the devil, but it's really not the limited amount of the story that's her policing is really the backstory to her personal journey. But yeah, that's one of the things when I walked off the grid was I decided I had all this history with the blues, with the fellas, with boxing, and I liked to write, and I loved Raymond Chandler and Pete Dexter and all that, and I thought, well, you know, I didn't have any idea it would be as hard as it is to get published. I mean, I wrote for 8 years, 2,000 hours a year, and all I ever got was go away and die. you know, don't talk to us, you're using too much paper. You know, it was just horrible. I had no idea, or I wouldn't have done it.
This is your first novel. They say a lot of people's first novels are really their fourth novel. Is this actually the first novel you've written, or the first one you've published?
Sixth.
It's the sixth you've written.
Sixth I've written. I've written eight by the time it sold. Six, seven, and eight all sold at the same time. And since then, they've gone back, and lots of people are negotiating for the original, the first three, which are, they're about dealing with the devil also, but they're slightly different written. This is in a first-person present tense. The others are in third. And they were asking me this the other night at a book event. When you have a really strong voice, I'm not saying good, but strong, it's the worst thing you can have as a debut author because everybody's afraid of you. They look at what you're writing and just, you know, come on, man. You know, we haven't seen that before. It's too this, too that. Right after you get published, it's the biggest asset that you have. So you go from being go away and die to people calling you on the phone. As I pointed out, that woman right over there, Ann Johns, the movie producer, I'm represented by creative artists in Hollywood now. She's here to talk to me about doing a movie. 6 months ago, a year ago, till you know, Simon Schuster buys you. People don't, they say what you're writing is crap. And I'm not saying that it's not, but they say that. And then after you're bought and people are interested in you, hey, you're the next Raymond Chandler. And I don't know if you saw the Sun-Times article or the Tribune or Baltimore, that's what they say about me. And they laugh. They start out with saying, they always say that about the new guy. Well, we got the, you know, and he said, but in my case, they're saying, this may be him. Well, this is the same book that people were just going, get this off my desk, you know?
Isn't that amazing? I mean, it takes a lot of wherewithal, guts, whatever you want to call it, to actually just keep writing under those circumstances.
Yeah, you got to want to do it. It would be, I think, extremely hard as a young man. I walked off the grid in Belfast when I was 49, and I'd already had a life.
What do you mean by you walked off the grid?
I recognized that if I was going to be an artist, which is something I had wanted to do, that I was going to give up everything else. And it was a personal decision that made it easier down the road because I'd already had a life. If you hadn't and you tried that, I mean, the amount of rejection you get in this, it's not the same as what the actresses face, where it's personal all the time, where I spend a year and then go out and let you beat the crap out of me. You know, an actress gets her ass beat every hour.
We're talking to Charlie Newton. The book is called Calumet City. Let's talk about the book itself. This Patty Black, who is telling the story in the first person, is a very tough character. So we find out she's based on the real Patty Black, who perhaps also plays rugby and is very, very tough and sarcastic. It's a wonderful voice. I'd love it if you could read maybe a page of the book in a moment. But then, you know, she survived this brutal childhood, and it comes back to haunt her during the course of the novel. How do you, as the author, get into that heart and that pain of that character? I imagine you have to really feel her pain to some extent as you're writing it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked that when you write first person as a woman and you're not a woman, how do you do that? And those people that think I do it well, the answer I gave them was that I couldn't write a fully feminine woman. The women that I write are closed down, injured, wounded, tough guys, you know, not quite men in a dress, but heading in that direction.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know women like that, but I was
I've never met anybody like this character.
I was married to a Jordanian rugby player, and I know a lot of women rugby players, and a lot of them, not a lot of them, but a number of them are like this. And I know women in Cuba and other places that make their living as smugglers that are like this, that have had such a difficult life and have found a way to walk through a male-dominated career or society or wherever they are and develop tools to do that. And instead of great hair moves and eyeliner, they've developed male skills to do that. So I use real people. The vast majority of people in this book are real. And I sort of channel what I know about them when I think about what Patty would do. I know Patty really well, how she talks, and I have a good ear for that. So it's not so much that I think I understand the emotion as I'm reporting what I know is true for them to do it. That for a guy my size, I'm 6'3", 220, to understand what it feels like to be a 100-pound woman in a laundromat, I can think it. I can be it cerebrally. But you, I mean, you look to be about that. So I put you in a laundromat with one door. You're thinking different thoughts than I'm thinking. And if I know you, and we've talked about that, and I use that as a scene, I'm going to say what you said. I'm going to remember what you look like and how your head turned and what your hands did. And so it's more of paying attention than being some finely tuned instrument.
Now, how did the real Patty Black feel about this book? I take it she's read it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got to sign off. It's like Julie McCoy, who owns a lesbian bar in this called the L7, is actually the women's national, the head coach of the USA women's national rugby team.
It's funny that you use, I mean, how many of these people are using their real names?
Most of them.
Really?
Tracy Mowens is real. The lawyer, Cindy Borland's one of my lawyers. So is Joanne Merica, the U.S. attorney. Toddy Pete Steffen's real.
That's unusual. Usually people change their names, even if it's just changing it from John to Jim or something.
Well, and originally when Simon & Schuster bought this, they said this would be a real downside. And I said, well, I when I write the book, I use real people. And I also recognize that what I have to do is disconnect at some point if I'm going to get into something really ugly. And what I tell everyone is, at the end of the day, I'm going to give you the manuscript, and you get to say, no, I would never say that word.
And so Patty Black, the police officer in Chicago, did that. She went through the manuscript and said...
Yeah, all of them did. And they all have to sign releases. And they all, and Patty, it's like when I was interviewed by the Chicago Tribune, they said, well, what did Patty say? And I said, Patty's made out of concrete. You know, Patty said, as long as you say this is fiction, say whatever you want. And... I mean, that's just sort of Patty's way. Patty, if I espoused very strong political positions that she didn't agree with, she would have said so. But she sees me as portraying her in a not altogether true, but very accurate way.
It's probably a greater honor even than Policeman of the Year to have somebody write a 300-page novel about you.
She was really, the only thing she really worried about, and this is before the superintendent changed, was what the other policemen would say, and sort of that Australian thing about don't stand too tall. And, I mean, you know, Patty wears body armor and blue jeans, and, you know, other than her gun and whatnot, you wouldn't really think of her. She doesn't participate in the world in a way that holds her out as special. And so she was, as you might imagine, not particularly excited about the celebrity part. But her daughter, which is her really her granddaughter that she adopted, just got really excited saying, who's going to play me in the movie? Her little girl.
Right.
So there's those bonuses. So I think there's a payoff for everyone's ego if somebody does this, but there's a downside too. People start saying, well, you said, you did, you know, what about that? I mean, somebody violates her with candlesticks in this, you know, how do you want that said about you?
Right.
You know, and read in Chicago Tribune.
Well, I mean, this character in your book's life is pretty rough. But you're saying it's not even as rough as the real Patty Black's life.
We have a dedication, and it says that her life is both worse and better, and someday that story, she'll tell that story. And I think Jonathan Eich, I'm trying to get him, who wrote the Joe DiMaggio book, to do the nonfiction book, which I think would just, for young women, it'd just break your heart, but it also, you'd be crying and smiling at the end of it. I mean, it's a hell of a journey.
Would you like to read just the first page of chapter one?
Not really, but I'll do it if you make me.
I'll make you.
I got to have glasses, though, probably. You got any glasses?
No, Robert, no. Do you have any glasses?
Well, I'll try.
Okay.
Chapter one, 7 days ago. It's Monday in Chicago, which is actually worse than it sounds. Our bookies, palm readers, and civil servants are all doing double shift overtime. We're in the end of season baseball thing. Nah, I can't read this without glasses. Do you need glasses?
We're talking to Charlie Newton. He's going to be speaking about his book, Calumet City, at Garcia Street Books in Santa Fe this Sunday. the 4th of May at 3 o'clock.
Okay, we have glasses now.
Yay.
It's Monday in Chicago, which is actually worse than it sounds. Our bookies, palm readers, and civil servants are all doing double shift overtime. We're in an end-of-season baseball thing. The Cubs and the Sox are still alive, a planetary alignment so rare that today's Herald suggests biblical implication. It's also Election Eve. And then there's the other thing. 19 hours ago, a lone gunman tried to kill our mayor. 3 bullets, high caliber, all into the airspace surrounding his and his wife's expensive haircuts. As you might imagine, our police department's experiencing a bit of discomfort over this. At least above the rank of sergeant, there's a bit of discomfort. Below the rank of sergeant, we're more focused on policing the city, saving mankind, and stealing the odd apple here and there. Don't get me wrong, I like the mayor. His wife Mary Kate's a bitch, but that's another story. And I don't think his honor should die in office. And as long as my sergeant's not frustrated or hungry, neither does he, big, badass Irish Sonny Barrett. How'd I do?
Great.
Thanks.
No, it's a wonderful book, and truly thrilling to read, and wonderful voice. I don't know how you keep that up. I guess it's just really having a good ear through the course of the novel.
Yeah. The one I'm writing now, which is not the follow-up, but the third of this trilogy, has 2 protagonists, a man and a woman, and that's really challenging to be able to shift between chapter to chapter of telling the story in a Hispanic male's point of view and an Irish girl's point of view.
So you are working on or hoping that this book gets made into a film?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all are. And so, you know, when we're over, if you go over to Anne and say, make this movie, she's sitting 20 feet from me.
Well, Charlie Newton, best of luck. Wonderful book, Calumet City. And people can find out more about it on charlienewton.com and can meet Charlie on Sunday at Garcia Street Books in Santa Fe on Garcia Street at 3 in the afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a little break right now. Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He's the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's with us here just about every Friday, speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning. I'm sorry I was discombobulated, not to mention a little disoriented.
Yeah, well, that happens to people like you. And Charlie Romney Brown is with us, too. She's from Women's Voices and is going to tell us just a little bit about what's going on in the near future. Welcome, Charlie. We've got 2 Charlies on the show today.
Oh, well, all the better to confuse everyone, right? Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte. It's lovely to be here this beautiful day.
Now, what's Women's Voices up to these days?
Well, we have added 4 new events for to Women's Voices, which we're very excited about. And I'd like to tell you about them, if I may.
Please do.
This coming Tuesday, May 6th, we're going to be out at the Rape Crisis Center, and we're going to have a shower for newborns in need. But the important thing is we're going to have the experts talking about teenage pregnancy and what can possibly be done about it in New Mexico, and we know that's one of the greatest problems we're dealing with as a community here. So I invite you all to come, and it's 3:15, Tuesday, May 6th. And for more information on any of these things, you can go to womensvoicesinternational.com, and it will give you all the facts. The next thing we have is Tuesday, May 13th, we're going to be out at the college, and we have Meryl Lefkoff, who is an international negotiator, Nina Simmons, who is the co-founder of Bioneers, which we all know is such an important environmental group, and Wanda Kyle. Then we're going to have a private tour on Thursday, May 22nd, of the new rail yard before its opening by the architect Steve Robinson. And I think that's very exciting. Then the next thing is Linda Durham, and we're really honored to have all of these people speak to us who give us their time gratis and give us the benefit of their experience. She was in Myanmar, which is the former Burma, and she actually witnessed the Buddhist monks' demonstrations. So she's going to have all the latest on that, and that's going to be at William Siegel's gallery. Then, the last event we have is Marty Sherwin, who is the Pulitzer Prize winner and author of America Prometheus. And that's
which is about Robert Oppenheimer.
Exactly.
And we had him on the show a couple of years ago.
Well, he's wonderful. And we're delighted that he's coming back to Santa Fe, and Women's Voices is very honored to have him. So for more information about any of this, please do look at womensvoicesinternational.com, which will give you the details. And for any questions, you can email me at womensvoices@comcast.net.
Charlie Romney Brown, there we have it. Thank you so much for being with us, and thanks for all you do with Women's Voices.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you for all you do.
Well,
it's been a pleasure being
here. This is a thank you fest. Thank you, Robert, for being you.
Thank you for being you.
Robert, what's going on this weekend in Santa Fe and environs?
There's a lot going on. First Friday Art Walk, Lou Allen Contemporary, Wadle Gallery, Spatina Gallery, Peterson Cooley Gallery, Manitou Gallery, and the Chuck Jones Gallery, all downtown, all on Palace Avenue, all saying come on by and say hello tonight. Tonight, 5 to 7:30 p.m. on Palace Avenue. Not to mention things happening up on Canyon Road and elsewhere. Gerald Peters Gallery is having a giant Defining the West, 200 Years of American Imagery, which is a lot of imagery to stick into the Gerald Peters Gallery. It's, how many paintings in 200 years?
More than 1,000.
Probably at many at least, because people must have painted two or three things, right? Like that guy Renoir and those are characters. Anyway, that's tonight. And I'm going to look at the time right here and now, if you give me just a second to recombobulate. Oh, okay. It's 5 to 7 o'clock. Show up. Gerald Peters is over there on Paseo de Peralta, 1011. It's around the horseshoe there where the you go there by...
On your way to Garcia Street Books.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what bars are over there where I would know the neighborhood, but I can't think of one. Can you?
No.
They need more bars by galleries. Meanwhile, I promised that I would also mention this event happening up in Taos. And it's called Wake Up and Smell the Coffee, a play by Eric Bogosian with Donald Garber, produced by Greg Scrano. May 2nd and 3rd, 7:30 p.m., up in Taos. Where's the information? The studio and actor space. I'll get that later. You can tell that it's already one of those mornings.
Yeah, where's your glasses?
I left my glasses. I left my beer at home. I come on, and there's two Charlies. I feel like I'm seeing double. So.
Hey, Desiree May's latest book in the series, Opera Unveiled, will be presented at St. Bede's Episcopal Church at 1601 St. Francis Drive on Wednesday, May 7th. That's Wednesday of next week at 6:45. Desiree discusses the five operas of the upcoming Santa Fe season and will be joined by the opera's prop director, Randy Lutz, who will bring props from the operas to show. That sounds so cool. And music excerpts will accompany Desiree's reading, a signing of Opera Unveiled 2008. It's free and open to the public. And the phone number is 466-8222.
That's pretty good. You
know 466-8222.
Oscar Levant was? Oscar Levant. Come on, let's see your pop culture knowledge.
No clue.
All you know is those guys that are from, like, Europe with 4 or 7 syllables to their names.
Give me a friggin' break.
Ah, you almost said a naughty word on the radio.
I did not.
The FCC would be after you instead of after me.
I can say frig.
Yeah, I got COD after me as it is, not to mention the IRS. Anyway, Oscar Levant was this great character. He was sort of a curmudgeon who played the piano. Like, and David Geist is going to kind of perform him when Stars Never Fade Productions, or Stars Never Die, they sort of bring back these old famous performers and recreate them by doing impersonations. Well, he's going to be doing that this weekend, and I wrote a little mixed media about it. 2 p.m. on Sunday, May 4th, at the Scottish Rite Center.
David Geist is great. He's a great player, a great performer.
So he'll be doing this stuff. You got to pay to get in. You got to call 988-1234, which, by the way, is the Lenzig.
No.
And Levant was one of those guys who had great, what do you call it when people have great quotes that we remember? You know, if somebody makes a lot of great quotations and we remember them.
You call him Yogi Berra.
No, he wasn't Yogi Berra, but he would say things like, you know, I'm going to memorize your name and then throw my head away. Anyway, David Geist is doing that. And then a couple of weeks, Julie Trujillo is doing Judy Garland. I'll be writing about that. Today is your last chance to vote for what you think should be the name of the new Civic Center. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if you want to get in there and vote, you should.
How about the Santa Fe Civic Center?
That's it. Go ahead and make commentaries.
No, that's what people were saying. I had a long conversation with various friends over dinner the other night.
Why would
about
anybody have a long conversation about how the center?
Because about how if you don't call it the Santa Fe Civic Center or the Santa Fe Conference and Convention Center, then when people Google it, they won't find it. And the person I was sitting with, who knows far more about this than all of us put together, said, now it's all about meta tags. You can call it the house pet shop, and if you have the right tags on it, they'll still find it.
Well, all you got to do is tell me which direction it is and what bar is nearby, and I'll find it.
Bar.
Name the center.
Bar is the theme of Robert Knott's day today. Go ahead.
Name the center at santafe.org. That's where you email if you have suggestions. There's a little blurb in Paso Tiempo on page 12 about it. Pick up the Paso Tiempo if you want to know what's happening in the arts world. God knows I don't. And then you can find out what sort of openings we have tonight and what's going on. Now, there's a lot of theater in town. Should we talk about it?
Oh, yes. Let's.
Doubt, A Parable.
I saw that. I saw the rehearsal, and we interviewed Scott Harrison and two of the actors in it, and it is very good.
I'm going to go this weekend. It's at El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe, 1615 Paseo de Peralta. You got to pay to get in. There is a phone number to call, which is 666.
666?
Yeah, 2379, if I'm not mistaken. Happy End is the College of Santa Fe's musical of Bertolt Brecht and that other guy he worked with. Wagner, one of those guys. It was, they always got together and wrote plays.
Kurt Weill?
Yeah, that's him. Anyway, Happy End's continuing to the College of Santa Fe at the Greer Garson Theater. I'm going to go see that this weekend. Call 473-6511 for information. Santa Fe Prep is doing the Pajama Game. That's a terrific musical. Remember Doris Day was in that in the movie?
Doris Day.
And they were like fighting for a 7 cents an hour raise, so they all went on strike.
I'll say my favorite Doris Day quote again. George Burns said, I knew Doris Day before she was a virgin.
Groucho Marx said that, and I doubt that's
true. Oh,
it was
Groucho Marx?
Yeah. It's your face. See, that's the thing we got to learn about quotations.
They're attributed to just anybody.
Yogi Berra, Oscar Levant, she mixes up. Anyway, the Pajama Game, Santa Fe Prep, go and see it if you like. You got to pay to get in, it ain't too expensive. They're up on Camino Cruz Blanca. I think the phone number is 982-1839. Willy Wonka, remember that show?
I read the book.
Well, the book got turned into a movie, and the movie got turned into a musical.
The book was so good.
I believe the
book
was.
The book was, I'm sure, better than any movie could possibly have. Although I didn't see the movie.
Well, I got to read some books, too. Lady Chatterley's lover still on my nightstand there. Willy Wonka, Pandemonium Productions.
She is.
Yeah, she's very patient. At the James A. Little Theater there in the Mexico School for the Deaf. She has to wait to finish a radio show. Call 988-1234 for information. Wise Fool, New Mexico Puppet Tale. Everybody likes puppets, except when they creep into your room around 3 a.m. and strangle you. That's
an excellent point.
They're doing a show called Spoon for Every Fool. Okay, or is that a fool for every spoon? They mix these names up so that you're confused on the way there while you're trying to think of a name for the new Civic Center. You can be debating the title of this particular show at Wise Fool. They're right on 2778 Agua Fria Street, Unit D, 6:30 p.m. tonight. You
gotta, we could
pay
call
to get
it
in.
Española Dog Grooming Salon.
No, you don't want to do that. The dogs would be mistaken to go to the wrong theater show. 2-for-1 tickets at the door. 992-23 or 2588. Sorry, I do need glasses at this time of my life, and I don't have them, so I'm sort of stumbling along. Pick up the Paso Tiempo calendar and see if I'm right. Page 77. You were about to speak. Go ahead.
The Little Earth School is having its 24th annual benefit auction on May 3rd. Hey, that's tomorrow, isn't it? At the Hotel Santa Fe at 1500 Paseo de Peralta. And there's an entrance fee and lots going on. The auction begins at 6 o'clock, and proceeds raised at the event will provide scholarships to children from pre-K to 5th grade.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's not bad at all. Did you know that there's a lot of other stuff happening? And among the things is Sean Tyrell, the Irish troubadour. You know him?
No.
He's coming to present Cry of the Dreamer, a celebration of John Boyle O'Reilly. Do you know who John Boyle O'Reilly is?
Uh-uh.
Why don't you do some Googling and see what happens? I believe he was an Irish activist and journalist. That's tonight at 6:30 p.m. in the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space. That makes sense that you do a show about an Irish guy in the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space in Benildis Hall in the College of Santa Fe campus on St. Michael's Drive. Gotta pay to get in. There's also an optional dessert wine bar.
The word bar has now come up 3 times.
Well, I guess I should head over there tonight and talk to them about the wine part. Forget the dessert. I'll go back to Lady Chatterley and get that. Meanwhile, NDI is doing 100 years of American music and dance. It amazes me that these people do these shows that have an incredible scope. 200 years of painting at Gerald Peters Gallery, 100 years of dance at NDI. You had to do like 3 years of my bank account over there at my accountant to see why I'm in trouble with the IRS. Anyway, they're teaming up with various students from various schools in town to celebrate 100 years of dance and music. and members of the Santa Fe Police and Fire Departments are going to take place, which I think is wonderful community collaboration. I had uncles who were police officers and firemen, so I'm always singing their praises. 3 and 5 p.m. today, the Dance Barns, 1140 Alto Street. Got to pay to get in. 983-7761.
You got to read this book, Calumet City, this novel,
Calumet
cop novel.
City. Go ahead. Why don't we reiterate for people that tuned in a little late?
Charlie Newton will be reading from his novel, signing books, and talking on Sunday at 3 o'clock at Garcia Street Books.
Yeah.
Which is on Garcia Street in Santa Fe.
They got an N in the paper, but they misspelled Calumet, and they made it Calumet at one point. But it is Calumet. By the way, there's this great ad on Pasta today, and I don't push ads because I have anything to do with the companies. Reynolds Insurance. And this guy's getting electrocuted on a ladder. He's trying to fix a chandelier. That's hilarious. That's like the best ad that would make me want to buy insurance because that stuff happens to me all the time. But
you've gotten electrocuted? If you've gotten electrocuted, you wouldn't be here.
Well, no, you can survive. It's just that, you know, people plug light bulbs in their mouth and stuff so they can see what's happening in the dark. But anyway, I don't belong to Reynolds Insurance. I'm not pushing them because I belong to them. When I mention a restaurant I went to, I don't get anything free, and I don't like being offered stuff. So thank you for those of you that do, but that ain't how it works with me. Which reminds me, Battlefield, New Mexico. Now, we don't necessarily want to propagate war on your program.
No, we certainly don't. This is a peaceful program.
Usually.
It's a family program.
Well, it depends. Must be
the milk of human
family.
Kindness between you and me is the main part of this program.
Kiddo, that milk soured years ago. The Civil War battle reenactments for people that like to do that stuff are 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at probably at Rancho El Golan, Los Golondrinas de South of Santa Fe, El Rancho de Los Golondrinas. El Rancho de las Golondrinas. 471-2261. You got to pay to get in. You want to go out there and see people dressing up like Confederate soldiers and Union soldiers. That stuff's really good when it's like ghost shows and they go to Gettysburg and they try to find like the haunted spooks that are there. That stuff is terrific, but I don't think that's going to happen. Somebody just dropped off an announcement. Mr. Knott, you're an incredibly handsome man with a voice that just makes me tingle. I'm wondering if you're free later. No, wait a minute. It says trash.
That's the first part. Go to the second part that has the announcement on it.
Listen to this. Trash and treasure sale. Trash comes first. A charity event to benefit the scholarship fund for the American Association of University Women. Saturday, May 3rd from 8 to 2:30 at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds at the Rodeo Grounds. Find something you want. Find something you need. See you tomorrow.
Hey, Santa Fe Community Partnership, a project of New Mexico Voices for Children, invites you to join your neighbors, friends, elected officials, teachers, youth, and others to learn how to work better together to support our children. We can steer the future by supporting healthier families and communities, stronger schools, et cetera, et cetera. When? Today, from 5 to 9, it includes dinner, and then tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., includes dinner and entertainment, and Sunday at the Folk Art Museum on Museum Hill. It's all free, and materials are included. You can RSVP by calling 955-1812.
Say, what time is it?
8:45.
I got to sing a song for somebody that asked me to, but I'll do that later.
Oh, no, do it now.
Well, let me just mention the Heritage Preservation Award Ceremony, Cultural Properties Review Committee's annual award ceremony and reception honoring Santa Fe's preservation heroes and New Deal achievements. What do you know about the New Deal?
Oh, far more than I can possibly say right now.
Well, I was playing cards last night, and believe me, I wanted the guy that was dealing to give me a New Deal because I think he was cheating me. Anyway, they're going to have this big reception that you might want to go to, and it's going to be today from 2 to 4:30. Where? At the Scottish Rite Temple. We already talked about that. You got to wear your kilts. No charge. Reservations are suggested. 827-6320. That is our cover story in Pasta Tiempo, very nicely written by Mr. Paul Weideman, who I have incredible respect for. He's really a good guy. And there is also a lot of other New Deal events happening throughout the month, and we have a pretty good sidebar of information in the Pasta Tiempo calendar if you want to know what's happening and when and why, and more importantly, what the New Deal is. And it goes beyond a poker game. Tuesday, tying in with that at 5:30 at Collected Works, bookstore down on San Francisco Street, Sunstone Press celebrates the release of Outlaws and Desperados. Down, 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 down. Get them, boys. A New Mexico Federal Writers Project book by Ann Lacey and Ann Valley Fox, 5:30 p.m. It's free, 988-4226. I wrote about it in today's Pasta. This is a great book about stories that were told to Federal Writers Project writers back in New Mexico in the 30s and 40s. And they recorded them for, do you do it for prosperity or posterity?
Posterity.
What's prosperity?
Prosperity is when you have all the money and other things that make you happy that you need.
No wonder I don't know that word. Anyway, so.
And posterity is the generations that come after you.
And what if I'm standing up straight? What's that?
That's your posture.
I see. Okay. Well, anyway, they edited this book, Anne Valley Fox and Anne Lacey. They didn't write it, but they did a great job in the book signings Friday. Pardon me, Wednesday, 5:30, and there's a story on pasta. Go ahead, do the hay.
Broadway series number 3, Broadway Serenade. Marvin Hamlisch, award-winning composer,
that's
pianist,
right,
and conductor with singer Anne Runolfsson. And that's Thursday, the 8th of May at 7:30 at the Lenzic. It's the Santa Fe Concert Association's, is it the final event of the program? In any case, it's part of the 71st anniversary concert season. And that is happening 988-1234 for tickets.
That's pretty good. Let's say tonight you feel like going out and drinking, but unlike me, you want to move around a little bit and dance on the floor, although I'm a pretty good dancer. My sister taught me how to dance
when
I was a teenager because she knew that I was pretty ugly, and she said the only way you're going to get a girl is if you dance.
Did it work out that way for you?
Oh, if you can dance, do you know what you can get a woman to do afterwards?
What?
Massage your feet if you're lucky. Stepping all over me, and me with a size 13, which means it's very hard for me to find my shoe size in the store. Sometimes I walk out wearing the shoe boxes. It's
you are a size
goofy.
13?
I do.
Wow.
Don't make any insinuations, implications, or inoculations.
Who,
not to
me?
Mention inoculations. So tonight at the Lodge Lounge at the Lodge of Santa Fe, there's Karma Lodge.
Lodge Lounge.
Karma Chameleon. House and hip hop. 10 o'clock. Santa Fe Brewing Company has the Hoodoos. Hoodoos that rock and blues like the hoodoo so well. What time is that? 8 o'clock, small cover. Tin Star Saloon has Blues de Ville. That sounds pretty cool. That gives it like a exotic ring. Let me see. What the heck was that? Oh, 9:30. There's a small cover. Vanessa has Charles Tishner playing the piano at 7:30 p.m. That is free. Evangelos has the Tangents doing rock, Latin, and blues. 9 o'clock, small cover. And if you go to Dinner for Two, Pablo Champion plays the Thierbo. Do you know what the Thierbo is? You don't? That's great. Two of us on the show being ignorant. That's bad enough. I haven't got a clue either, but if you want to find out, go there, 7 o'clock. And finally, Cafe Dominique, Jerry Carthy doing Irish tunes, 6 to 9 o'clock. I ran into him last night at Lotta Burger. And the
is
first thing
right?
he says to me is, how'd you get your order before me? Because
you're
I called
special,
my order
Robert.
In.
You're special, Robert.
He didn't call his order in, so he's wondering why.
You're organized, Robert.
Well.
Hey, the Food Depot will present its 9th annual Empty Bowls Project on Sunday the 4th of May from noon to 2 at La Fonda's Lumpkins Ballroom. It's free admission. Guests will choose from hundreds of bowls created and donated by potters from all over New Mexico. There's a purchase price for each one. Then they fill them with fabulous soups donated by favorite local restaurants. And there will be a silent auction, gift certificates, all sorts of things. If you want more information, 471-1633.
You got kids and you don't know what to do with them. Well, you should have thought about that before you had them. But nonetheless, for someone like me who's childish
man.
But nonetheless can appreciate children, particularly when they're waving goodbye in the back of a car as they leave my property with their parents taking them away, thank goodness. Kids Night Out, fun activities for kids 5 to 12 with pizza and pasta supper. When? 6 to 10 o'clock tonight at Santa Fe Academy. You got to pay to get in. There's Dia de los Niños and Dia de los Libros events at the Southside Library today, 2 to 5 p.m. That's on Jaguar Drive. Jaguar's a cat. 10:30 to 11:30 Saturday at Lafarge Library, the same antics. And 2:30 to 3:30 Saturday at the Main Library. Meanwhile, the Santa Fe Children's Museum is always a great place to take your kids, 1050 Old Pecos Trail. Today, they're going to do continuous line drawing and watercoloring from 1 to 4 o'clock. Continuous line drawing, that's like they may as well go out and paint the line up the highway because they would never stop.
It's like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Really?
That's a continuous line.
I could never figure out the Etch-a-Sketch. I was always trying to break it open like a safe, like my uncle taught me.
Yeah, that doesn't work so well.
It didn't work for him either.
It works for some purposes, I suppose. Hey, the Move-In Gallery would like to invite you to Length Times Width Times Height. It's the end-of-the-year exhibition and performance featuring interactive media and time-based art, sound works from the Advanced Interactive Studio and New Media Exhibitions classes by College of Santa Fe Professor David Stout. And that's 4:45 today, followed by a 7 o'clock performance in Studio 1 adjacent to the screen at the College of Santa Fe. If you go at 6:15, you can see the whole show. Lots of different people participating. And for more information, just show up.
What time is it?
8:52.
Yikes. You want to volunteer? Center for Contemporary Arts needs people. 982-1338. Fine Arts for Children and Teens needs people. Studio assistants for art programs. 992-2787. Site Santa Fe is looking for volunteers. 989-1199. If you're looking to participate in something, there's a whole bunch of calls for artists of all sorts in the Paso Tempo calendar. Take a look and see on page 84. And that quote includes auditions for Our Leading Lady. This is a Charles Bush play. I knew him in New York City. He's a really talented playwright. And it's about the events surrounding the assassination of President Lincoln. And yet Bush is known for crazy comedy. I have not read the play yet. But Dan Garrity, who I think a lot of, is directing the show.
And KSFR's own Dan Garrity.
Yeah, that guy with the great voice.
With the great voice.
He's got like chisel rock features. He looks like a film noir character.
He's very handsome.
Yeah, I'm writing a part for him in a play. I hope he does it. 4:30 p.m. Saturday and 1:30 p.m. Sunday. They got to present a short contemporary and short classical monologue. That's why I never show up for these things. They always want the classical stuff. If they need, like, you know, one of the Bowery boys redone, I could come over there and do a part like this, or a William Bendix character. But no, you got to do classical stuff, the sonnets. Anyway, call the Playhouse at 988-4262 for information. Finally.
Why do you keep saying information?
Because I'm trying to get your attention. You start drifting off over there talking to that cute blonde.
Charlie Romney Brown?
Well, I can think she's cute. You don't have to, but.
A memorial service for Lobsang Lalungpa will be held at 2 o'clock on Sunday, the 4th of May, at Alumni Hall at the College of Santa Fe on St. Michael's Drive. As part of the service, Tibetan monks from the Drepung Losaling Monastery, Lobsang Lalungpa's monastery, will present a prayer ceremony. The public is welcome to attend.
And
I think he was killed by a drunken driver, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. When is it again?
Sunday.
Okay, thanks. Interested in happening at what's happening at the Teen Places Meow Wolf or Warehouse 21? Both of them
yes.
have websites. Check them out.
We love Meow Wolf.
And Warehouse 21 is still looking for all sorts of stuff as they get ready to open the new building over there in the rail yard around the 1st of July. Check out Warehouse 21 Productions or check out Meow Wolf, www.myspace.com, Meow Wolf. You can find information on both youth organizations there. And again, it's all in the Paso Tempo calendar, which is a really good calendar.
It is indeed.
Even if you don't like my writing, pick up the paper and look at the calendar.
This Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on Camp Love Wave, right here on KSFR, David Icke returns for part 3 of his conversation about global conspiracy with host Taryn Lovewave, plus David's reply to the Santa Fe Reporter claim that David is an anti-Semite. Oh, boy. Controversial stuff on Camp Lovewave.
You ain't kidding. The reporter, they just print every letter about everything, and it's kind of fun. Oh, look at this ad for the spot. That woman ain't got no top on. What time is it?
8:55. Robert, don't you have anything to say besides that? Did you do all the arts? Charlotte Jackson Fine Arts?
No, I didn't do that.
You didn't do, was this supposed to be speaking of the arts? Charlotte Jackson Fine Arts, Mala Breuer, early works, 1970 to 1980, and that's tonight, reception from 5 to 7 at Charlotte Jackson Fine Arts on 200 West Marcy Street.
What? Since we're doing it, here's a couple more. You want to go to Fort Smith Gallery? New paintings by Fort Smith and others, 5 to 8 p.m. tonight, 135 West Palace Avenue. You want to go to Blue Rain Gallery on Lincoln Avenue? New paintings by Hiram Joe and Mateo Romero, reception 5 to 7. You want to go to Patina? Frackshard, new ceramics by Patrick Shea Crab, reception 5:30 to 7:30. And if you want to go to Touching Stone, 539 Old Santa Fe Trail, Quiet Passion, 10 by Padre 2. Work by Kiichi Shimizu. Reception 5 to 7 through May 28th. They're on Old Santa Fe Trail crossing My Mechanics.
Hey, how about Art with Heart? Support HIV/AIDS silent and live
Good
auction.
Program. Go for it.
That's Friday, May, that's today, from 6 to 9 at the IAIA Museum in downtown Santa Fe, hors d'oeuvres and wine. And you can contact the New Mexico Community AIDS Partnership for more information at AIDSTrustNM@earthlink.net.
Okay, you say goodbye and I'll sing.
Goodbye.
I met some lady last night. She wants me to sing a song, and it's like I'm a jukebox or something, right? And it's Etta James, and I can't do Etta James unless I do it like Dean Martin. Plus, I don't know all the lyrics, but it goes something like this. At last, oh, my love has come along, and my lonely days are over. And my life is like a song, oh, at last. Well, baby, the sky's above a blue, yet a blue, yet a blue. And I found something I can hold on to. And I think that something's you. Take it away, girl.
Hey, there's one another announcement that just came onto my computer screen. Internationally renowned educator and speaker Kim John Payne will be hosted by Santa Fe Waldorf School for a presentation called The Socially Resilient Child. And this talk will explore teasing prevention, breaking the cycle of teasing, and moving children from isolation to friendship, held at the Junior Common Room of St. John's College on Tuesday evening, May 6th, from 7 to 9. There's a suggested donation. More information, 983-6928.
You smile.
Maybe we should engage in some teasing prevention on this show.
Teasing prevention.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. Robert Knott joins us every Friday, speaking of the arts, right here from 8:30 to 9 on KSFR. He's the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's a wonderful writer, actor, and just great all-around guy.
Not bad, and you should see me put away a six-pack of Corona.
KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz a la carte.
Charlie is kind of cute.
She is kind of cute. There she is, sitting there with her beautiful blonde hair,
look
giving us little
smile.
Kissy kissy faces and from the chair
you
here at the Santa Fe Bacon Company.
Oh, you smiled. Yeah, she smiled.
What are you doing this weekend?
I gotta go see Happy End. I gotta go see Doubt. I gotta read a book for a book review. I gotta do some laundry. I think there's some John Wayne movies on TV tomorrow. I'm gonna walk both my dogs. I'm gonna wash the Jeep.
Okay, never mind.
I'm gonna do my income taxes, and I'm gonna try to finish this damn Etta James song one of these days.
Robert Knott.
Yes, that's me.
You're a great guy.
Well, thank you. Keep talking.
Mwah.
Yeah, but I...
That's a kiss.
That's the end?
Mwah.
Jeez, I thought things were just beginning.
See you next week. See you. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Be happy. Be peaceful. And we'll see you next week on KSFR. Keep your dial tuned to KSFR, Santa Fe's only public radio station.
Say ciao.
Ciao.